Welcome back here to the Cheap Seats here on K-Country 95. Joining me on the line again is Mark Janes, voice of the IndyCar series. And Mark, I don't know if you've been as bored as I have, but oh my goodness, I ain't got nothing to watch, nothing to do. You just told me a little bit earlier you helped your wife clean the house. Is that about all you've been able to do?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, we're doing distance learning with our schools. I also teach high school just outside of Indianapolis, and you know, we've been working on some distance learning, what we call e-learning here. But you know, I teach in somewhat of a rural community, and I'm sure you folks understand the challenges of people in outlying areas maybe not having access to either devices or the internet. But we're making do the best we can, and it's a good thing that my wife and I have been at this game for 30 plus years. But I guess that's all the bumps in the road to get to this point is what helped prepare us for this. It's gone reasonably well, I'd have to say. Well, I got to say that because she's in the next room. She can still hear.
All right, well, let's get right into it. Indy 500's postponed. And when was the last time that – I don't think this has ever happened, has it?
No, the only time it's ever been interrupted since 1911 was for World War One and then World War Two. Now, you know, Mother Nature's intervened a few times over the years, and the latest the Indy 500 has ever been contested is May 31st. So this is, much like everything else, uncharted waters for sure.
Right.
You know, with the August 23rd date. But I got to commend Roger Penske, the new owner of the IndyCar series, Doug Bowles, who's the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and you know, everyone in the management team with IndyCar, Mark Miles and Jay Fry, and certainly a lot of track promoters, as we'll discuss further. You know, there's a lot of moving pieces and parts. Your television partner, your engine manufacturers, your chassis manufacturers, the teams themselves. So, you know, there's a lot of moving pieces and parts that had to come together to make this all happen. And I think a lot of folks can be commended for putting this all together and making sure that fans do get a chance to witness the greatest spectacle in racing, the Indianapolis 500 in August.
Now, we've pushed back the complete schedule. It looks like it's set to begin in the last part of May in Detroit, right?
Yeah, the race at Belle Isle is Roger Penske's race. I mean, he revived it about 10 years ago now, and it's actually the lone doubleheader on the schedule. It's a Saturday-Sunday event. Actually, we roll in, you know, Thursday afternoon and practice and start qualifying on Friday. There are several classes of cars there, and I think that you know, makes some sense to start there. And then you know, we get back into the regular portion of our schedule at places like Texas Motor Speedway and Newton, Iowa, and moving on from there, and then going to Richmond, which is our return to Richmond, and Toronto. But then the schedule changes a little bit. They moved the date of the race at Mid-Ohio in Lexington, Ohio, which is just north of Columbus. And then on the other side of the Indianapolis 500, they also moved the race up at Gateway, just outside of St. Louis. And then the Portland race also moved in order to create some room for the Indianapolis 500 to give it its two full weeks, which is the tradition of late. And then most notably, the opener at St. Petersburg, which we thought initially would be canceled, it's actually postponed now until late September, early October. And instead of the season finale being at Laguna Seca, the season finale will be at St. Petersburg. And I'm real happy for the mayor of St. Petersburg and the folks in that city. Hey, they've done a tremendous job hosting our season opener for a number of years, and I was just heartbroken that they were going to lose that economic impact and the opportunity to host the NTT IndyCar Series. And while certainly they're disappointed at not hosting the opener, I'm sure they'll be proud to be able to crown the series champion this season.
And we can throw a little bit in there about basketball. You know, the SEC tournament was canceled just about 3 weeks ago. Nashville had just had that massive tornado that had just went through downtown, and they needed the economic impact of the SEC tournament. And then that got canceled due to the COVID-19 outbreak.
Right.
So these are for sure some communities that are going to need some extra income and tourist fan bases, stuff like that, to be able to come out and support them and fill the gap that they usually are used to being there with the financial support from all these tournaments, races, stuff like that, being in these cities.
That's a great point. You know, I think sometimes people that necessarily aren't sports fans, regardless, you know, of the sport, they They may not like baseball, their football, their basketball, their motor sports, and may think too much emphasis in society is placed upon it.
Right.
But I think we're finding out now about the economic impact, to your point, which was a very good one, the economic impact that sports have on all communities, large and small. I mean, I know that if you talk to the athletic directors at the schools that you cover on a regular basis, Aiden, they're missing that revenue from basketball and now baseball. From spring sports, and that's something that you can't make up. They don't get the opportunity to make that money back up.
And AAA is, they've postponed it, went ahead and postponed most of the spring season. They've canceled trap or skeet shooting, and I figure eventually if we do evolve into online learning, of course, we will not have spring sports seasons, which will hurt these schools.
Oh, there's no question, and I feel badly for seniors. I really do. I mean, I feel badly for the schools, but you feel badly for the seniors of those spring sports and one last opportunity to compete. I mean, I checked in with a couple of my seniors today, and, you know, the program that I run at Monrovia High School is a fairly new one, Hayden. It's only in its third year, and there's two young men in particular that have been very instrumental in the growth and success of our program, and I sure hope that, you know, our governor has issued us an order to be out of school until May 1st, and we've got our fingers crossed that we might be able to resume classes May 1st. I don't know that that's the case, and if it's not, at some point we'll get the opportunity to spend some time together, but it will be disappointing to not give them the proper send-off that I think they deserve for all that they've done for our program there at Monrovia High School.
That's for sure. Now, there's a new date, and it's July 4th weekend, and they'll run Brickyard Weekend, which will be the first over crossover of NASCAR and IndyCar, if I'm not wrong.
I think that sounds like a weekend you need to come to.
Yeah,
Central
for
Indiana,
sure. I'm coming to town.
I mean, you know, not only will you get the opportunity to see your beloved NASCAR, but we can educate you about the NTT IndyCar series a bit. Yeah, that's going to be quite a weekend, hey?
Yeah.
I mean, guys, we're going to have all three Road to Indy series, the F2000, the Indy Pro, and the Indy Light series. You'll have the NTT IndyCar series. You'll have the Xfinity series, and you'll have the Monster Energy series.
That
How's
is
that
insane.
For a weekend at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway?
Oh, my goodness. Can you imagine trying to keep that track running?
NASCAR IndyCar doubleheader weekend.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. If I can't go, I'm for sure going to have a TV on somewhere. That's awesome. And I've been to...
Let me interject, though. You're going to turn the sound down on the TV and turn up the radio. Though.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. Now, I've been to Indy. I've been in the racing place, the center right there where they've got like the little museum and stuff like that, and I've got the tour bus around the racetrack. But other than that, watching a race, that's on my bucket list for sure. And now, do they still drink milk?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I figured.
Now, a number of years ago, Emerson Fittipaldi raised the ire of the traditionalist when he initially drank a bottle of orange juice in Victory Lane. But
gotcha.
He was being a businessman because he happened to own Orange Grove, so he was trying to promote his product. But yeah, it all started years ago when Louis Meyer requested buttermilk in Victory Lane.
Gotcha.
Of course, it wasn't long after that, but dairy producers got a hold of it. And yeah, the drivers actually, on one of the many forms that they fill out before the 500, they actually let you know what type of milk that they prefer, whether they want whole milk or 2% milk or skim milk or whatever the case may be. So it's turned into a pretty big deal for sure. That tradition in Victory Lane.
Now let me ask you this: between NASCAR driver or not NASCAR, you better don't come through the phone. I didn't mean to say NASCAR, but with IndyCar, how are like pit crews and drivers keeping together? I know you can email, phone call, stuff like that, but it's like a basketball team or a baseball team. Y'all are a family as one, and you want to be together and practice together and communicate and stuff like that. What other ways are they able to be together but be apart?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of that depends on, you know, what rules are in place, where those shops are located, you know, and if they choose to follow those. I don't know that those, you know, it'd be interesting to note, and I'm sorry I don't have that, is if whether or not that those are considered essential business, because right now in the state of Indiana, you know, only essential travel is allowed. But I would think that a handful of them probably slip off to the shop. Those guys are doing their best to stay in shape, and you know, I know they can't do any wind tunnel testing, and they can't do any testing on tracks on their own, of course. The drivers themselves are staying close to the fans through their social media outlets. You heard about the wild success that Fox had last weekend with their iRacing event. There's another one for them this weekend with the NASCAR drivers, but there are also some pretty sizable IndyCar drivers involved in some iRacing events. So I think that platform has allowed the drivers to not only stay sharp and keep their skills sharp, but I think it's also allowed them to stay connected to the fans. And I think that's huge. You know, it's still quite a while, Hayden, until we get to June 1st. And it's going to be, you know, the longest offseason that we've ever had in motorsports. And I guess the good news is that if we are able to get back to the business of racing that last weekend in May, and we don't wrap up our season until early to mid-October, that means just a shorter offseason before we get to 2021 and,
exactly.
and the season over whenever it returns to St. Pete. So that's the, one of the silver linings to look for to some of the West Star Cloud.
Now, I know that Indy 500 got pushed back to August 23rd, correct?
Yes.
And I know that, I mean, there was so much to go into that. I know we're going to talk about this here just right now. I mean, you've got fans, you've got, like you said, the engine makers, the companies, the sponsors, people like that, that all came together as one and was able to agree to postpone this to a later date, not for the financial standpoint pretty much, but for the fans, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And I speculated, I did an interview a couple of days ago, and I thought, well, you know what, there's still a little bit of time. But I think these decisions are made after consulting with not only government, but health experts and state and federal boards of health and the Centers for Disease Control in terms of where they maybe see this curve finally flattening out. And I think, you know, it was becoming too close of a call. And then, as I said before, once NBC pulled the plug, or the Japan pulled the plug on the Olympics and made the television partner more available,
right?
I think it made sense to really look at finding some dates. But yeah, I think the fans probably benefit from this as much as anyone, Hayden, because you know, there's a lot of people right now with NBA and Major League Baseball season tickets who are having to live with a little bit of uncertainty,
right?
And all of those people that had tickets for the Indianapolis 500 and the IndyCar Grand Prix, they now know when those dates are and when they can start to make those hotel reservations, get
right.
those airline tickets changed, and get those travel plans adjusted well in advance. And I commend everyone involved in the decision for doing just that.
Now, we've got to wrap this up, but I do want to know, what do you think it would have been like to have a race without fans?
I don't know that anyone here was interested in that.
Really?
I really don't think that was ever an option. I think Doug Bowles, the president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, stated emphatically it was going to run at some point. And I just don't know that running the Indianapolis 500 without fans would have ever been an option. And that's just me speculating. I don't have any hard evidence of that. But I have a hard time believing that event ever would have been held with those stipulations on it, for sure.
All right, Mark, I appreciate your time, and stay safe.
Okay, you too. Take care.
Welcome back here to the Cheap Seats here on K-Country 95. And as you heard there, Mark Janes, voice of the IndyCar Series, going to have our first ever NASCAR and IndyCar Series crossover. The last time that the Indy 500 was pushed back was World War II, if I'm not wrong. I can't remember that just 100%. I think that's right. I can't believe that. The World War II was the only time that has had to been postponed. And he mentioned there, you forget your weather, stuff like that. But, I mean, a major pushback like this is August 23rd. I can't believe that. And, I mean, you've seen stuff all through the news this week, last week, the week before last, the last month. You've got that, like, the conference tournament, basketball, like SEC, Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12, Pac-10, stuff like that. That just blows me away. Nobody has ever seen anything like that. I want to say I've never seen anything like that. Nobody unless if they've probably been around during World War II, have probably seen that, which just blows me away. And then the Big Dance got canceled, and I can't believe that either. This is time to watch basketball for me. I don't have anything to do. So anyway, as we move on, we've got a little bit to talk about here with COVID-19 in the sports world, stuff like that. And then we've also got some Razorback news. And then also we've got the free agency in the NFL going on right now. I've got my greatest picks, I guess you could say, from the free agency so far. We'll go over them. But before that, we'll start out with a local player here. Thayer native Jordan Alford is now a three-time NAIA All-American. The Columbia College guard earned third-team honors Thursday. Alford was a first-team selection in 2019 and a third-team pick in 2018. She averaged 12.4 points per game this past season as the Lady Cougars were 25-7. Alford was also an honorable mention on the WBCA All-American squad, which congratulations to Jordan Alford, Thayer native, taking her time in college. Now in Fayetteville, Razorback season tickets are, the renewal date is being pushed back to April 6th. So for all you Razorback fans out there, if you're wanting to renew your season tickets, don't forget that they have extended that deadline out to April 6th. So make sure you get out there and renew your season tickets. The Razorbacks Ticket Center is available to answer questions and offer assistance in the renewal process. Fans can reach the Ticket Center by calling 479-575-5151 or by contacting raztk@uark.edu. Now, other news in Fayetteville, Arkansas recently gave defensive coordinator Barry Odom and offensive line coach Brad Davis $100,000 raises. The two were given these pair of raises after a couple SEC schools came after them. And keep this in mind, they haven't coached a game at Arkansas. That boosted Odom's pay to $1.3 million, while Davis is now at $650,000. Most fans seem to have praised the move, but I'm kind of with them on the side that, I mean, you've never watched Odom or Davis coach a game with the Razorbacks. But don't get me wrong, these were great hires by Sam Pittman. Don't get me wrong, these were awesome hires. So I'm okay with it, but I'm not okay with it. We'll just leave it there. Why would they get these raises, you wonder? It's pretty simple. You either do that or you prepare to coach against them. Both were among the first targets that Pittman looked to get whenever he came to Arkansas. Davis was the first assistant hired for the Hogs. Odom will likely prove very valuable to Pittman at Arkansas in more ways than just providing that better defense. Pittman has never been a head coach except for 2 years at Hutchinson, Kansas Community College in 1992 and the 93 season. So he's a head coach at a major college football place for the first time in his career, which I'm excited. He's excited to be there, which keeps me happy. And we'll just have to see. And if you're a Razorback fan, a football fan at that, you know the Razorbacks struggle on defense. That is 100% true. And then also, I know I'm sticking with the Razorbacks. I don't try to be biased here. Razorback commit Jalen Williams was Arkansas's Gatorade Player of the Year. Williams averaged 19.6 points per game, had 12.6 rebounds, 2.7 assists, and 2 blocks per game. And Jalen Williams and the Farrell, I think it's 3 or 4. Can't remember how many are coming now. There was one that committed to Auburn, I think. And so now I think it is the Farrell 4. But you've started to see people starting to move around on the Razorback squad. Jalen Harris has entered the transfer portal. He will not be with the Razorbacks next season if he does switch to a different college. And then you've also heard the Razorback star will be entering the NBA draft, and I do believe that he'll be taking an agent with him as he goes, so good luck to him as he moves on. And don't forget the Max Preps All-State basketball team was just announced. Justice Cooper at ICC, the 6'5 senior, got third-team honors. He's committed to Arkansas Fort Smith to go play in the 2021 season. And then on the second team from Cave City, Isabella Hickenbotham, and the 5'7 junior earned second team honors. Congratulations to them from all of us here at eCommunications. Now on the NFL side of things, you've got your best of the 2020 NFL free agency. We'll talk just a little bit about that. Right now, my number one is going to go to Tampa Bay for getting Tom Brady at quarterback for that 2-year, $50 million deal. That was a great move by the Buccaneers right now. I wonder, can Belichick win, Bill Belichick with the Patriots, their head coach, can they win without Tom Brady? That's honestly what I want to see. And then also you have to switch it up. Can Tom Brady win without Bill Belichick? And I'm not sure. I mean, Bill Belichick has got he had a dynasty in New England. Doesn't anymore. It's starting to break up a little bit. It's breaking up majorly. Tom Brady, that was there. That was the main piece in the puzzle right there. But, I mean, you can kind of tell this guy knows what he's doing. He's been with the Patriots for how many years now? Won how many Super Bowls? And I think Brady, and you know, there were rumors that went around right before the split between Brady and Belichick that they really did not get along. And so this is a great move by Tampa Bay. I have nothing else to say about that. I just can't believe that Tom Brady went to the Buccaneers. Why would he go to Tampa Bay? I still don't get that. And I'm not saying that this isn't going to be a bad year for Tampa Bay, but you've got a better shot at a ring with the Patriots. I don't understand that. I don't know. You had a lot of more options to go than just to Tampa Bay. But anyway, moving on down, they re-signed Drew Brees with the Saints at the quarterback position for a two-year, $50 million deal. I think that was a great move. Drew Brees is a great quarterback, and I think New Orleans is going to be hard to pass up for Super Bowl contenders next season. Now, moving on down the line, Brian Poole for the New York Jets. He's a cornerback. He's a one-year, $5 million deal. He was with the Falcons last season, turned into 2019 standards, and he was a bright spot there for the Falcons. So we'll just have to see about him. Moving on down, I've got to go with Eric Ebron, excuse me, at tight end for Pittsburgh. He was a former Colt. Pretty good move there by Pittsburgh. They did need a good tight end. And I can't remember. I'll have to look that up while I'm sitting here. I can't remember if the quarterback for Pittsburgh is coming back or not. But if he is, and you have Eric Ebron, I mean, Steelers have done a tremendous job. Hats off to their head coach. I mean, he's been able to, or he's lost Antonio Brown, and I can't remember who else he lost that were key roles in the playing. But, I mean, they were almost in playoff contention there at the end of the year for this last NFL season, and they just keep adding to it. So I think that's going to be really good. Ben Roethlisberger, that's his name. Let's see here. I don't think he will be back. He may be back in the middle of the season, but this seems like it wasn't. Now, back whenever Eric Ebron was with the Colts and Andrew Luck was still with the Colts and not retired, let's see here. The Colts made Ebron a focal point of their offense under Andrew Luck that year with 110 targets, but Ebron's numbers fell across the board last season, which is whenever Andrew Luck stepped down like 10 days before the season. He disagreed with the organization about undergoing ankle surgery in December, which led to his departure this offseason. So there you go. And then also, I've got to tip my hat to the Colts. 1 year, $25 million deal with Phillip Rivers at quarterback, the former Chargers quarterback. I think that's going to be a pretty good move. We'll just have to see everybody before Deshaun Watson and before Patrick Mahomes won his ring this last year. Cam's got a ring. Let's see here. I can't remember who else I was thinking of this morning. But you add all these people up together, and I think that Phillip Rivers is now not at the top of that list because, like I mentioned, you've got Deshaun Watson, people like that who have not won a Super Bowl ring. I would say that Phillip Rivers, like I mentioned, is at the bottom of that list, but Phillip Rivers, Colts needed a quarterback. That's what I'm trying to spit out here. Colts needed a quarterback, and this guy is at least a veteran, maybe can bring maybe a better offensive side of things. They've struggled all year on offense, and so we'll just have to see on that one, which, if you haven't heard yet, rumors are flying around like crazy that Deshaun Watson will be with the Patriots next season, and I couldn't believe that one. I'm going to try to pull up the Twitter tweets and conspiracies and stuff like that. There was a full list of them whenever I was looking here. So I'll try to pull that up while we're sitting here. But on it, and this whole COVID-19 thing, we're talking about how it affects stuff like this. And Rudy Gobert, I can't say his name right. Donovan Mitchell and the Utah Jazz staff have been cleared of coronavirus, which is great. And maybe this can get us back online with this whole let's get ready to play thing. Utah Jazz guard Donovan Mitchell and center Rudy Gobert, both previously tested positive for coronavirus, have been cleared by the Utah Department of Health, and the team said it in a statement on Friday. Both Mitchell and Gobert tested positive for the virus on March 11th after 14 days of Jazz players and staff fulfilling their periods of isolation and quarantine. They were clear, however, they will continue to practice social distancing with limiting time outside of their homes to essential activities in accordance with recommendations by the NBA and CDC. In a video posted by the NBA on March 15th, Rudy Gobert said he was feeling a little better every single day. He also expressed regret in his social media exposure, saying, "I have gone through so many emotions since learning of my diagnosis, mostly fear, anxiety, and embarrassment. The first and most important thing, I would like to publicly apologize to the people I may have endangered at the time. I had no idea that I was infected." And that's the thing we have to be careful about with this whole thing. If you didn't see Rudy, I can't say his name right. I can't remember how to say that. But anyway, he was at a press conference with the media, and I guess he felt like it was not just overly important to be careful, which this was probably a month ago or a month and a half ago, with everybody was saying this is just the flu, something normal, which of course now we know that it is not. And so it touched like all the mics. Like, I mean, the media people have like little microphones, little recorders, stuff like that they'll stick on the table, and microphones were all over that table. You had your recorders, went around to every microphone and every recorder and touched them, making fun of stuff like that. So I don't want to say anything about that, but, and then they're also throwing reports out there, NFL and college football seasons could be postponed due to the coronavirus pandemic. And trying to think of who it was that said that. Oh, Kirk Herbstreit, that's who it was. And he said he would be surprised or shocked if the 2020 NFL and college football seasons take place amid the coronavirus outbreak, COVID-19, stuff like that. So he made an appearance on ESPN Radio on Thursday and talked about why he believes that it's too dangerous for football to go forward with their seasons during the pandemic. He said, "I'll be shocked if we have NFL football season this fall if we have college football. I'll be surprised if that happens," Herbstreit said, "just because of what I understand, people that I listen to, you're 12 to 18 months from a coronavirus vaccine. I don't know how you let those guys go into the locker room and let stadiums be filled up and how you can just play basketball." And he said he just doesn't know how you can do it with the optics of it. And let's see here. And, you know, LeBron James has been stating, I know I go back and forth between NFL and NBA, but NBA here, LeBron James, he did not test positive before. I might slip out something that sounds like he did. He was claiming that he would not play without fans in a stadium, which I would have been really interested to see if LeBron would have done that or not. But we are thankful that the Utah Jazz were able to come back and be able to play for that, or play, not play, but were able to come back and still quarantined right now, or social distancing, but do seem to be clear with the whole coronavirus outbreak. And then I've got one more free agent pick that I thought was good. The Nickell Coleman at cornerback for Philadelphia, the 1 year, $1 million deal. That one was a pretty good trade there. That's where the Eagles have mainly struggled all season, so maybe they'll give them just a little bit of security there on offense. Whenever we go to break, we'll come back and wrap this episode up of The Cheap Seats, all presented by the Ecom Sports Network. Welcome back here to The Cheap Seats here on K-Country 95. As you heard there, we talked to the voice of the IndyCar Series, Mark Janes, about a little bit what Corona is doing. They've pushed back the Indy 500 to August 23rd, if I'm not wrong. And then you've got your first ever NASCAR IndyCar mashup weekend. As you heard there, I can't remember them all. That was a huge list that he said. But he had about, I can't remember, I think it was close to seven of how many people or how many races were going to go on that weekend. And they moved the Brickyard, or yeah, the Brickyard weekend. And that will be whenever it is, of course, at the Indy 500, which is on my bucket list if you didn't hear what I said there. So that's going to wrap up this episode of the Cheap Seats. Thanks for tuning in. We'll try to get this episode on our award-winning website, ecomnewsnetwork.com. Just go look about Tuesday, or excuse me, go look about tomorrow, and we'll see if we can get it posted for you there. Coming up at the top of the hour from the Ecom News Network, ECNN will have the news from ABC. And don't forget, we'll have Alex Rutledge and Mike Crace for American Roots Outdoors. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it. As always, we hope you'll stay with us again for American Roots Outdoors. I'm Hayden Savage for the Cheap Seats, and I'm signing off. Don't forget, at 10 o'clock, we'll have the Savage Y2K Country Countdown.